Welcome back to another episode of Data Protection Gumbo. I'm your host, Demetrius Malbro, and today I have a fantastic guest on, someone that I have seen on LinkedIn for several years, and he has a very, very awesome past. He was a software engineer at Google, and also his background is very colorful as well. And so I'll let him tell you just a brief nugget of his past. But right now, he is the founder and career coach and also professional coach over at Morgan Latimer. So, Anthony Mays, I would like to welcome you to the Gumbo. How are you?
Doing all right. Thanks for having me.
Let's start off with your story. We have lots of different age groups, anywhere from 20s and still in college, computer science majors, all the way up to graduates as well.
Sure. So life started for me, I'd say back in 1988. That's the earliest I can remember. 87, was growing up in Compton. I was about 4 years old at the time. And a kindergarten teacher had discovered that I'd been physically abused. And so I went into foster care for the third time, me and my two brothers. And fortunately, some former babysitters of ours found out that we were going into foster care and went to a session in night court at Compton Courthouse in order to get custody of us. So we grew up with these new parents from the time that I was like 4 years old up until I went off to college and graduated from high school. So early on, I understood that I wanted to do something to get out the hood, to be successful, to not repeat the trauma that I had endured as a young person.
Yeah.
And discovered tech. I learned about computers and programming when I was, say, in the third grade or so, second grade. And when I used a computer for the first time, I figured, like, this is it. Like, this is what I want to do with my life. And over the years, especially through junior high school and in high school, I had a couple of mentors who taught me about the basics around the around computers and the internet and all that stuff. And the rest is kind of history.
Nice. And I really appreciate you sharing that story, because sometimes we get stuck in our story and in our past. But yet you have continued to elevate and take your past and continue to move forward, and not only move forward, but also be willing to lay a path to help others move forward. And so as I understand it, so your consulting business right now, you are helping anyone who's interested in tech, right, to decode the interview process, to interview better, because people that look like us, of course, we have to work 2-3 times as hard. I've seen that as well in my own career. Broke into Palo Alto, California, working in the industry that I was in as well. And so it was really hard for me also to do that. But what is your advice to anyone, especially someone that may be getting ready to graduate from college right now, and they are a little under the weather because it's kind of challenging to find a job right now for anyone in tech?
Yeah, I'll borrow from Theo, a guy that I follow on Twitter. We had a conversation at this tech conference, Render ATL, and we were talking about how there is basically this deficit of trust, candidates and companies.
Okay.
It's really hard to hire when you don't trust that the person that you're looking at on the application, on the resume, is who they say that they are and able to do the things that they say that they can do. And that's especially true of this new generation of graduates and boot camp students and whatnot. There's so much information and there's so many ways to learn, but yet so few people who can show that they know how to apply what they've learned. I think my biggest recommendation for folks who are coming out of school right now is that you've got to overcome that trust gap by showing that you know how to do the work and that you can apply what you know in a meaningful way. And I think in tech, there are so many ways to do that, but so few people who do that, I think, reliably and consistently. So if you can do an internship, do freelancing, build your own portfolio, get professional paid or unpaid experience, you should endeavor to do that and have a sense of scrappiness and flexibility so that you have the receipts that you can present to a prospective hiring employer.
Okay. And what have you heard about the job market right now? Because what I am seeing is inflation, that they're not quite sure whether inflation is on the rise or it's decreasing. We have this presidential election that's up and coming, and Joe Biden is just being Joe Biden, and Trump is being Trump, and the tech market, and you see numbers coming in, 4.1% unemployment. I'm not quite sure where things are going. And now AI, artificial intelligence, is the big buzz, and NVIDIA, they're killing it on the stock market. So what would you say for someone, especially let's say you want to help someone out that may be a little younger, and let's say they want to come on to your consulting company, what advice would you give them in order to convince them, hey, you need to sit down with me and let me show you, let me teach you?
Yeah, I think the first thing is that students need to have an accurate assessment of the market, or any job seeker needs to have an accurate assessment of the market. You need to understand that there is still correcting that's happening post-COVID. You need to understand that inflation is a thing that businesses care about, and that impacts consumer spending. So folks don't want to spend as much money, which means there isn't as much demand, which means that there isn't as much of a need for companies to have these big, you know, this huge staff of engineers the way that they did a few years ago. Mm-hmm. You need to understand that with AI and machine learning and LLMs, you have the opportunity for computers to do some of the things that you used to rely on very junior human beings to do, which means that the bar has now been raised for all of us to take on a greater scope of work and more responsibility and to learn more things, right? So entry level in 2024 doesn't mean what entry level did back in, say, 2018, 2015. So with that being said, you're going to have to make more of an investment in self-learning and in promoting your work and the things that you've done if you're going to be successful in this market. You're also going to have to change where you look. Many technologists coming into the industry are distracted by the big tech players, such as the Googles, the Amazons, the Metas, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it's not wrong to want to aspire to work in those places, but there's all this opportunity that has opened up and continues to open up with non-tech companies, with the small to medium-sized players who are looking for tech talent increasingly more and more, but they don't know how to publicize themselves on a scale that a Google does or Amazon or Intuit or et cetera, et cetera. And so candidates can help themselves out by looking at non-traditional companies for tech opportunity. As non-traditional talent comes into the market, they should really lean into non-traditional pathways for making their way in this industry.
Okay. And you mentioned so non-traditional ways, right? And I've struggled with this myself. So trying to, do I want to stay in the tech industry or do I want to be an entrepreneur? Because we have the computing power in our hands, right? We have cell phones. I mean, we're just inundated with information, and we could go and literally run a one-person business if we really wanted to figure that out. And if we had the funds, right, 6 months, year and a half worth of cash to do it, then a lot more people could actually start doing that. Do you see that it's easier to maybe go do your own thing with the way technology is today? Or should you try to break into the industry with maybe doing a non-traditional path?
I mean, the answer is both. And it depends on the individual, right? Mm-hmm. I think that when I say traditional way, that's, you go get a four-year degree in a tech-related discipline or field of study, computer science, computer engineering, IT, something like that, human-computer interaction. So go get a four-year degree. During that time, do an internship to get professional experience. And then by the time you kind of come out of school with the education and with the professional experience, you can, you know, pretty much have your pick of the litter. I mean, less so nowadays because of just where the market is, but I think it's still the case.
Yeah.
So that's the traditional route. And for many people, that will still be the most convenient way to get into tech and pursue tech. So I don't think that that's going away anytime soon, personally. But that's also a very expensive route because you make a lot of upfront investment for a return that shows up years later.
Okay.
You could skip that and teach yourself. And I was thinking about this a couple months ago when I think I read a tweet or something to that effect. But at the end of the day, we're all really self-taught. developers and engineers, for those of us who are on the technical track. We're always teaching ourselves these tools. It's just that we have a foundation that enables that learning to happen a lot more easily because we get the theory and the foundations. Okay. So even if you're non-traditional, you've got to do that stuff too, right? Mm-hmm. You've got to teach yourself how to learn, how to understand those foundations, how to do pattern matching to be successful. And then at that point, assuming that you've got some wisdom in how you save money and thought through your finances, and also how you built a network for yourself that can enable you to do entrepreneurship and to lean into things like freelancing, as opposed to relying on internships and stuff like that. But you've got to be thoughtful about how you're going to negotiate your rate, how you're going to plan deals far enough out in advance, because unlike a traditional 9-to-5 job, there's no salary, right? Mm-hmm. You've just got to figure that out. And so having a good business sense and savvy is going to help you out. But that also requires augmenting your education with not just technical stuff, but also with business skills, right? Mm-hmm. Some of which you're going to learn by doing, but others which you're going to learn by picking up a book.
Okay. And should individuals be afraid of AI, or should they embrace in order to leverage it to accomplish what they want to accomplish? Because, you know, there's a lot of different apps out there. There's so many, and I get newsletters and emails every day that's telling me the hottest AI tool or co-pilot that's out there in order to assist you with maybe arranging travel or any niche that you even want to think about. There's an AI app out there to help you do it. And so my question is, do you see AI as being this amazing, powerful tool that anyone can use and leverage in order to make some money? Or is it eventually going to get to a point where it's like, it's going to take all the jobs and it's going to be some doom and gloom and Elon Musk will be right?
Yeah, again, so it's both, right? Mm-hmm. It is more the former than the latter for sure. It is a tool that we use. I'm of using a hammer sometimes because I don't want to bang my fingers, right? So there's like that means that I should learn how to use it correctly so that I don't do myself hurt, harm, and damage. Mm-hmm. But when you know how to use a hammer, it's a very effective tool for what it does, right? And it's the same thing with AI. I can use AI in such a way that it benefits me and the people around me as I'm solving problems for my users or customers, but I can also harm myself and others when I don't understand that tool correctly. So I think it's not AI that I'm concerned about, it's me and the folks who are using those tools and how they're thinking about using it responsibly and thinking about the implications. But the other part is, yeah, there will be some displacement that occurs from having new technology. And that's not a new story. That's old, right? I mean, as old as time, anytime we have new technologies or advances in innovations, there's this displacement happen. It's not that people are completely disabled forever. It's just that they stop doing this one thing because it's no longer required, and then you pivot to do something different.
Yeah.
And so, and it's perfectly fine if somebody says, you know what, I want out because now AI can do this thing and I'm more at risk of not being able to do this. So let me pivot to something else for which there's more room for growth. But we have to decide what we want to do. What we can't do is just sit still, right? And just hope that the problem goes away, because it's not going to go away. So, but the same things happen when we talk about, you know, the surge in investment in green technologies, the invention of the printing press, industrial manufacturing, the introduction of the assembly line. It's just another advancement in that long line of innovation. And yeah, I get it. Like the scale of impact has only grown over time. And that's what kind of makes tech is the fact that every few years, there's some new innovation that seems to touch every human being on the planet in one way or another, whether that's the introduction of the internet, the mobile phone, you know, AI. I mean, these are things that we're only talking about being introduced over the past 30, 40 years, right? And yet it's had such huge changes on humanity. So, you know, I won't argue that these things are big and impactful, maybe in ways that other innovations before haven't been or haven't been as quickly. Mm-hmm. But the fact of the matter is that we should be used to change, and we should know that there are enough principles that we can rely on, time-tested, true, never-changing principles around how we deal with disruption. Mm. Okay. And it's simply by learning to adopt and learn as much as we can to use it responsibly or pivot.
Okay. And maybe one or two more questions before we begin to wrap up, Anthony. And I like to go back and have a question for the young and also a question for the old. So let's talk a junior or senior right now in high school, and they're looking at whether I should go to college, or should I just get a trade? What are you seeing? Is there an industry, a recommendation, like maybe you should consider going down this path because here's what I see for the next two to five years. It may be more beneficial for you to start looking this way. Do you have advice on that?
Yeah, I think it starts with you understanding yourself. And that's a combination of things. One is just self-introspection. Understand how you learn, understand what appeals to you, where your strengths are, and know that for yourself. But the other part of that is, you know, we can be very self-deceived and self-deceiving. And so it's important to incorporate feedback from the people who are around you, most principally your parents, mm-hmm. siblings, other family members, friends with whom you interact regularly, your teacher, and get a sense for them, like, what kind of person do you see? Where do you see my strengths being? What about weaknesses? And that will help you to understand whether you have the wherewithal to be a diligent self-learner. And maybe you don't need someone lecturing at you in order to learn mm-hmm. information. Mm-hmm. Maybe you'll understand that, you know, you're not great when it comes to acquiring information by way of reading, but you love a good YouTube video or a good course. Like, once you can break those things down, then it determines the right learning path for you. And one of the things I'm excited about in this for the new generation is the ability to customize a learning and growth path that makes sense for you. But in order to do that, you've got to know something about yourself, and you have to be willing to acknowledge certain truths about who you are and how you best operate. If mm-hmm. you don't figure that out and you just take whatever path is given to you, that could work out, but it would be more a function of luck than of intentional effort.
Mm. Okay. Yeah. I love that advice. And bringing it forward to an old guy like me, right? I've been on my job for a while, and maybe I'm a little bit frustrated. I've moved around quite a bit, or I've been laid off because yeah. layoffs are happening, as you mentioned, yep. post-COVID, right? Companies are reevaluating their job situations because they overhired. So someone that's maybe laid off, or they're looking to get out of a bad situation in order to change jobs. What advice would you give to that person right now?
Yeah, I mean, so complacency is your biggest enemy. Okay. And it's an enemy of the old and the young. But I think especially with the old, like, I feel it all the time myself. Like, I just don't want to learn another big new thing. Mm-hmm. I'm just kind of at that phase of my life where I've been practicing this for long enough that you kind of grow old of the hamster wheel. But yeah. when that happens, you become more resistant to adopting new things and new paradigms and really assessing those things fairly. You know, I feel myself turning into an old man a lot nowadays, where I'm just like, I just don't mm-hmm. like, yeah, I know it's good, but I just don't wanna. Right. And that can be fine if you are making the right kind of pivot. Because again, okay. I think to be complacent and to stay where you are, hoping that things are going to stay the same, is a losing strategy. And so if you have been in your career for a long time and you haven't been making an investment, say, in updating your resume, taking on new skills, you might want to get out before you get pushed out mm-hmm. and figure out what will invigorate that youthful energy that you once had to learn something new. And I think that's part of the reason why I've leaned into entrepreneurship now, why I've leaned into teaching and coaching now, as opposed to being the daily practitioner and independent contributor, is because I wanted to now be in a position where I could change the game for myself and get excited about something that's different than what I've been doing for the past 20 or so years. Mm-hmm. So, and I think that in that process, I'm now learning a lot of new things on a regular basis. And I'm excited about that learning journey because I'm in just a different place of life doing something different. And so cultivating that as a habit is important. And if you are, I think, more senior or older, whether that be in age or mm-hmm. in tenure, you want to think about ways that you can continue to challenge yourselves in a way that's meaningful for you.
Okay. Yeah, that seems to be a theme with you. Self introspection, you know, making sure it's right for you. And, you know, that's also something I believe in as well, because there's a lot of advice out there that someone will try to steer you. Okay, well, maybe you should invest in cryptocurrency. But do you even know what cryptocurrency is, right? Like, have you really, truly studied? There's 1,000 different coins that are out there. And I mean, you can go from the tiniest coin up to something that's, you know, really super specific, and you can get yourself into kind of a little bit of trouble financially if you start investing on things you don't know.
Well, I mean, the benefit of being more experienced and more seasoned as a professional is that you can see the new, but also recognize the old. Okay. And that's one of the weaknesses of those who are maybe more junior in their careers, that they don't see sometimes the enduring truths that have always been around, right? Like, so just simple, if something looks too good to be true, it probably is, right? That's a time-tested principle. But also being an early adopter, right? Mm-hmm. High risk, high reward is a long-standing principle that is never changed. And so for someone who is senior, you want to be looking at these new things and appreciate the newness that it brings, but also recognize that the old laws and rules of life haven't changed just because this new thing's around. Yeah. So that should more easily help you to aptly assess whether, you know, whether this new thing really is as good as they say it is, or whether it's just hype and all that. And I can recall when I was first learning about crypto and some of the other technologies that are built around that, and thinking to myself, like, okay, this is good. I can see the value of this, but this other thing that just sounds like it's vapor in thin air, right? And so there's, I think someone who does this really well is Kelsey Hightower.
You know what? I was going to mention Kelsey because Google, it's the whole Google thing. I've had him on several years ago, and like, do you guys know each other?
Yeah. So Kelsey's really good at being able to look beyond the flashy newness of a thing and to understand those fundamentals and foundations. And again, I think that having that traditional computer science education and just traditional collegiate education helps me to recognize those time-tested enduring principles that allow me to rightly assess the new things and appreciate that. So I think you want to lean into that as someone further along in the journey, but then also share those insights, right? And that's where you become more valuable, is when you can share those insights, mentor others, and train people on your team or in the community to think about those things well. And that's not something that's easily done when you don't have the experience and the training that comes from living for a while.
Or the confidence, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Because, you know, I have young daughters, and right in that between 18 and 21 year old, I mean, there's a lot that's going on right now, just what social media has done, and anxiety and depression and suicide rates. I mean, that's a real thing.
Right.
And I was having a conversation with a buddy. We didn't have all of this access, right? Cell phones really weren't quite a thing yet. We had pagers that stepped on the scene, and then we thought we were hot stuff because, yeah, you can page me, and now I feel important. But I can only imagine having access to the whole world in order to, like, if you post something, you can get 1,000, you can get 1,000,000 views, right, from all around the world. So that brings a whole nother level of stress just to the younger generation. So let me give you an opportunity to put a plug in for Morgan Latimer or anything else that you want to bring to the Data Protection Gumbo listeners.
Sure. So I'll keep it simple. If you'd like to follow me, I'm at Anthony D. Mays on all the things. So I'm often talking about career prep, interview prep, and just thinking about your career holistically. So I'm on Twitter, I'm on TikTok, I'm on Facebook, I'm on LinkedIn, I'm on wherever you want to be. I'm there. So go check out that content. If you're an organization, maybe you're a boot camp or a company looking to provide training to candidates who are coming through your interview process, or you're helping to prepare the next generation of technologists, by all means, reach out to me at Morgan Latimer Consulting. We're working B2B with organizations and companies who are looking to provide high quality training and coaching for their folks.
All right, amazing. Have you heard of a guy named Bratus? Bratus?
I have.
Okay. Yeah, I had him on the podcast as well, and Kanika told her.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Good. So I don't have to make any new connections for you. You're already plugged in over there.
That's right. I try to be, but hey, you know, keep bringing them along. And I like meeting new people as I can, especially if we're moving in the same direction, trying to help the next generation of technologists.
Absolutely. And before I let you go, just want to also put a plug in for the Data Protection Gumbo listeners. We have the Backup and Recovery Professionals LinkedIn group, and there's over 26,000 members in that group, and we're having similar conversations to the ones that we're having right here on Data Protection Gumbo about cybersecurity, compliance, regulation, cryptocurrency, storage, backup, disaster recovery, and the list goes on. So once again, Anthony, thank you so much for being a guest right here on Data Protection Gumbo.
Thanks for having me.